Good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to another chilling episode of Our Scary Stories. As the darkness envelops your surroundings and the world falls silent, lend us your ears. Tonight, we'll journey into the heart of Ravenswood, where legends come alive, and the wicked meet their fate. So, turn down the lights, get comfortable, and let the shadows of our tale dance around you. Ready, let's begin. Ravenswood was a town where every corner was steeped in history, every cobbled street imbued with the weight of past generations. Its cornfields stretched endlessly, kissed by the golden hue of the setting sun. Leaves rustled, and whispers of forgotten tales traveled with the wind. At the heart of the town was Josie's Diner, a rustic eatery with checkered floors and neon lights that hummed softly in the evening glow. The delicious aroma of freshly baked apple pie and brewing coffee filled the air, drawing people in like moths to a flame. Inside, a group of teenagers huddled around a booth, their faces illuminated by the flickering candles at the center of the table. Each wore a costume, signaling the nearing of Halloween. You've heard the legend of the Scarecrow, right? Lisa, a girl with raven black hair and vibrant green eyes, leaned forward, her voice hushed. The group exchanged glances. Some nodded, while others, like young Kevin with his thick glasses and curious demeanor, simply looked puzzled. The one in the abandoned field. He asked. That's the one, replied Lisa with a wicked smile. They say, every Halloween, it comes to life to take revenge on the wicked. Tom, a tall boy with sandy hair and a playful glint in his eye, scoffed. It's just a story to keep kids from venturing into the fields at night. From a corner booth, Mr. Holloway, a slender old man with silver hair and age-etched features, had been listening. Clearing his throat, he approached the teenagers. That's where you're wrong, young man. That legend, it's as real as you and me. The atmosphere grew heavy. The muted hum of conversations ceased, replaced by an uneasy stillness. The teenagers looked at him, a mixture of disbelief and intrigue in their eyes. Mr. Holloway continued, when I was about your age, there was talk of a journal. A journal written by the man who made that scarecrow. It's said to have contained dark rituals and curses, allowing the scarecrow to be a vessel for vengeful spirits. Lisa swallowed hard. Why would anyone create such a thing? Mr. Holloway leaned closer. Revenge. The man was wronged, deeply, by people he thought were his friends. They betrayed him, and in his despair, he sought dark powers. The wind howled outside, and the lights in the diner flickered momentarily, sending a collective shiver down everyone's spine. Kevin whispered, "So where's the journal now?" "No one knows," Mr. Holloway responded. "Some say it was destroyed, while others believe it's hidden somewhere in Ravenswood, waiting to be found." Lisa glanced out the window towards the vast cornfields, where in the distance, the silhouette of the scarecrow could be seen against the backdrop of the twilight sky. She could almost feel its presence, its lingering thirst for vengeance. A bell above the diner's entrance rang as the door swung open, letting in a gust of cold air. But for that group of teenagers, the real chill was the thought that perhaps, just perhaps, the tales of Ravenswood held more truth than they ever imagined. The soft amber glow from the library's antique lamps bathed the room in a warmth that contrasted starkly with the chilly air outside. Walls lined with old books, their spines creased from time and touch, gave Ravenswood High School's library an almost sacred feeling. In this temple of knowledge, Toby, a slender boy with soft brown eyes and untamed chestnut hair, found his refuge. Curled up in a leather chair next to the grand wooden window, Toby was engrossed in a thick volume titled, Legends of Ravenswood. The pages, yellowed and fragile, whispered tales of the town's storied past. He was particularly engrossed in the story of the Scarecrow, especially after overhearing the conversation at Josie's Diner. But his peace was short-lived. A shadow loomed over the page Toby was reading, followed by the familiar sound of mocking laughter. Looking up, Toby's eyes met those of Mark, a tall and stocky teenager with a crew cut and a sneer that always seemed to be in place. Still reading fairy tales, Toby. Mark jeered, flicking the book out of Toby's grasp. It landed with a thud, raising a small cloud of dust. Why don't you grow up and live in the real world? Surrounding Mark were his usual cohorts, Jake, with a freckled face and mischievous eyes, and Gary, whose height made him an imposing figure. Toby tried to hold back the sting of humiliation, biting his lip. It's just a book, Mark. Leave me alone. Jake picked up the book, scanning the page Toby was reading. The Scarecrow Legend. Oh, come on, Toby. Even kindergartners don't believe in that. He laughed, looking around the library to ensure they were the center of attention. Derry leaned closer to Toby, his breath reeking of stale chips. You believe in that old tale? Toby hesitated, then nodded slowly. It's part of Ravenswood's history. There's truth in every legend. Mark leaned down, his face inches from Toby's. How about this, genius? Since you're so obsessed with this scarecrow nonsense, we'll give you a first-hand experience. Tomorrow night, Halloween night, we'll take you to that abandoned field. Jake grinned wickedly. A night with the scarecrow. Imagine the tales you'll have for your silly books then. Toby's heart raced, a mixture of fear and anger. I won't go. Derry leaned closer, whispering in a tone that dripped with menace. It wasn't a request. As the trio left, their laughter echoing in the now quiet library, Toby felt a weight in the pit of his stomach. Halloween was just a day away, and the thought of spending a night near that scarecrow, especially with Mark and his gang, filled him with an unspeakable dread. The soft chimes of the grandfather clock resonated through Toby's home, a comforting sound that, under normal circumstances, heralded the beginning of a peaceful evening. But tonight, there was an air of unease. Toby sat on his bedroom floor, knees drawn up to his chest, lost in thought. The fading sunlight streamed through the window, casting a warm, orange hue over the room and casting elongated shadows on the walls. His grandmother, a petite woman with snow-white hair and gentle blue eyes, entered with a tray bearing a steaming cup of chamomile tea. Setting it down beside him, she took a seat next to Toby, her aged fingers brushing a stray hair from his forehead. You're troubled, she whispered, her voice as soft as the wind rustling through the autumn leaves. Toby nodded, recounting the events at the library and the cruel intentions of Mark and his gang. His grandmother listened intently, a somber look crossing her face. You know, every family in Ravenswood has its secrets, she began. Reaching into the pocket of her faded apron, she pulled out a small, silver amulet. It was shaped like a raven with outstretched wings, and in its center was a shimmering blue stone that seemed to glow faintly. This has been in our family for generations, she explained. It's said to ward off evil and protect the wearer from harm. Placing it in Toby's hand, she closed his fingers around it. Wear this tonight and always. Feeling the cool metal against his skin, Toby sensed a warmth and comfort that he hadn't felt all day. Tucking it under his shirt, he thanked his grandmother, giving her a tight hug. As night began to fall, Toby received a text message on his phone. It was from an unknown number, meet us at the abandoned field. If you don't, we'll make sure everyone at school knows you're a coward. Swallowing hard, Toby made a decision. He couldn't hide forever, and perhaps, with his grandmother's amulet, he might find the strength to face his tormentors. The vast cornfield seemed even more imposing under the silvery sheen of moonlight. The tall stalks swayed gently, their whispers almost like hushed conversations. At the edge of the field stood the scarecrow, its silhouette dark and foreboding against the backdrop of the night. As Toby approached, he could hear faint laughter. It was Mark, Jake, and Gary concealed behind the corn rows, waiting for their unsuspecting prey. Without warning, the trio lunged at Toby, overpowering him easily. They laughed and jeered, tying him to the scarecrow with coarse ropes that bit into his skin. There you go, scarecrow's buddy. Mark sneered. Maybe if you're lucky, he'll come to life and be your friend. As the bullies retreated, leaving Toby alone and bound, the eerie shadows seemed to close in around him. The chilling cries of a distant owl, the rustling of the cornstalks, and the looming presence of the scarecrow all contributed to a mounting terror. The amulet beneath Toby's shirt began to glow brighter, its luminescence a beacon in the consuming darkness. In the heart of the abandoned field, the world seemed to hold its breath. A moon hung high and full, illuminating the vast expanse with its milky light. Here, the stars shone brighter, each twinkling like a watchful eye. Bound to the scarecrow, Toby's heart raced. Every sound, from the soft sigh of the wind to the distant chirping of crickets, heightened his sense of vulnerability. The ropes cut into his wrists, but it was the cold of fear that numbed him most. The chimes of a distant clock tower echoed through the stillness, signaling the arrival of midnight. It was said that the veil between the living and the supernatural was thinnest at this hour. Toby's mind raced with the tales he'd read, tales of the scarecrow that came to life. The amulet resting against Toby's chest pulsed with a brighter glow, its luminescence casting a protective circle of light around him. A warm energy emanated from it, whispering reassurances to his racing heart. Away from the Scarecrow's vicinity, Mark, Jake, and Gary sat around a small campfire they'd made, sharing stories of their bravado, their voices laden with mischief and bravado. To them, this was nothing more than a game, a night of fun at Toby's expense. As they joked and laughed, something began to stir within the Scarecrow. At first, it was subtle, a stray straw moving against the wind, a twitch of the ragged fabric that made up its clothes. Slowly, almost imperceptibly, its head began to turn, straw-stuffed face tilting downward to observe the boy tied to its post. Toby's eyes widened in both amazement and terror as he felt the Scarecrow's movements. It was as if the very essence of the Halloween legend was coming alive before him. His breath caught in his throat as he locked eyes with the Scarecrow, its button eyes seemingly filled with a deep, ancient intelligence. The amulet's glow intensified, and Toby felt a strange connection with the Scarecrow, as if the two were bound by some age-old pact. The energy from the amulet seemed to communicate with the entity, perhaps pacifying or recognizing its spirit. Oblivious to the unfolding supernatural event, the bullies continued their banter. Their laughter was loud, cutting through the night, masking the soft, rustling sounds of the Scarecrow coming to life. By the time the first straw-laden foot lifted off the ground, Toby realized that the legends were more than just tales, they were warnings. And tonight, the bullies would learn the true price of their cruelty. The cold night air grew chillier as an unnatural fog began to rise from the ground, slowly blanketing the cornfields. Its misty tendrils snaked through the tall cornstalks, turning the vast expanse into a labyrinth of muted shapes and ghostly silhouettes. This fog did not feel natural, it felt like a manifestation of the anger and resentment that had been imbued into the Scarecrow over the years. With each passing second, the Scarecrow's form became more defined. The straw that once loosely hung from its clothes now seemed to harden and twist, like aged sinews. Its once limp form stood tall and menacing, emanating an aura of malevolence. Yet, there was a purpose in its movements, a singular focus. It sought retribution. As the Scarecrow turned to face Toby, the boy flinched, expecting an attack. But instead, with surprisingly gentle movements, it reached out and began to untie the ropes that bound him. Toby, still paralyzed with a mix of awe and terror, could only watch as the creature worked. Once free, he instinctively took a few steps back, clutching the amulet that glowed like a beacon in the encroaching darkness. The Scarecrow did not harm him. Instead, its hollow eyes shifted in the direction of the unsuspecting bullies, who were still laughing and jesting by their makeshift campfire. Mark was the first to sense something amiss. A sudden drop in temperature, a shadow moving in the periphery of his vision. He turned, and his jovial expression instantly transformed into one of sheer terror. The Scarecrow, once a stationary figure of straw and cloth, now towered menacingly a few meters away. Gary and Jake, seeing Mark's reaction, turned to witness the living legend, their faces contorting in disbelief and fear. Before they could react, the Scarecrow lunged. Its movements were swift, almost a blur, belying its once inert form. The bullies scattered, each trying to escape the fog-laden cornfields, but the maze-like conditions, heightened by their panic, disoriented them. Toby, from his vantage point, could hear their terrified screams echoing through the night. Each shout was punctuated by the rustling of cornstalks and the thudding of frantic footsteps. The fog carried the sounds, distorting and amplifying them, creating a chilling symphony of terror. One by one, the screams dwindled, replaced by an oppressive silence. The fog, thick and impenetrable, hid the fate of the bullies. Toby could only imagine the Scarecrow's retribution, its long-held desire to punish the wicked finally realized. Though he was overwhelmed by fear, a part of Toby felt that tonight's events were a form of justice, a reckoning for those who had done wrong. Clutching his amulet, he whispered a silent prayer of gratitude and began his cautious journey out of the foggy cornfield, hoping to distance himself from the night's haunting events. Mark's breath came in ragged gasps as he sprinted through the twisting pathways of the cornfields. The tall stalks seemed to close in on him, their leaves whispering secrets he didn't wish to hear. Suddenly, the ground before him turned murky, and the once solid earth transformed into a bog. From its depths, ghostly hands reached out, grasping at his ankles, pulling him down into a memory he had tried to bury, a childhood memory of a younger boy he had pushed into a muddy ditch, laughing as the boy cried out for help. Frantically pulling himself free, Mark stumbled forward, but was met with an even more horrifying sight. A massive murder of crows descended from the sky, their beady eyes reflecting the flames of a long-forgotten arson. The birds cawed menacingly, reminding him of the old barn he and his friends had set aflame, the poor animals inside never standing a chance. The crows now sought retribution, pecking at him, drawing blood, their cause a haunting chorus of judgment. Elsewhere in the cornfield, Gary's vision blurred, and he soon found himself in a mirrored maze. Each reflection showed a twisted version of his past, him stealing money from his frail grandmother, tormenting weaker classmates, and breaking the heart of a girl who had cared for him deeply. The reflections sneered and jeered, forcing him to relive each cruel act. Each mirror became a window into his soul, revealing the darkness within. Jake, the youngest of the bullies, felt the ground shift beneath him. The corn stalks transformed into towering skeletal figures, their bony fingers pointing accusingly. Memories of all the animals he had tortured in his short life came back to him. Cats, dogs, even helpless birds, all appeared before him, their eyes sad and accusatory. They didn't attack, they just stood, a silent testament to his cruelty, their gaze breaking down the walls of his denial. The fog in the fields grew denser, and the haunting visions intensified. Whispers of their past wrongdoings echoed through the air, growing louder with each step they took. The bullies, each trapped in their own personal hell, realized the true power of the Scarecrow. It didn't just punish, it made them face the very essence of their wickedness. The true terror of that night wasn't just a living Scarecrow or vengeful spirits, it was the realization that the monsters they saw were not in the cornfields, but within themselves. The fog that had enveloped the cornfields began to disperse, leading the bullies towards specific locations in Ravenswood, places they never thought they'd revisit. Gary, dripping in sweat and desperation, found himself standing before the old barn, its walls charred and blackened. The barn's entrance slowly creaked open to reveal a disturbing silhouette, animals, burnt and contorted, their ghostly forms charging at him. Each of them, a reminder of the life he took when he set the barn on fire in a wicked jest. The spirits surrounded him, forcing him to feel their fear and pain, the searing heat, and the suffocating smoke. The barn's walls crumbled around him as the weight of his guilt bore down, burying him in his misdeeds. Jake, meanwhile, was drawn to the desolate well at the edge of the village. Its brackish water seemed to beckon him. As he peered into the depths, the water transformed into a liquid mirror. Reflected in it were the pained faces of the animals he had tormented. And they were now pulling him, drawing him into the abyss. He could feel the cold embrace of the water as he was submerged into the watery grave he had once forced a stray cat into. But Mark's reckoning was the most chilling of all. Guided by an unseen force, he found himself amidst the shadowy woods. The trees seemed to pulse and breathe, their branches like gnarled fingers reaching out to him. With each step, the ground beneath him replayed the sound of every cruel laughter, every mocking word, and every scream he had elicited from his victims. Then, in a clearing bathed in the soft glow of the moon, stood the Scarecrow. Its straw-filled form seemed to throb with a dark energy. The Scarecrow's hollow eyes seemed deeper now, reflecting the countless souls it had judged. It moved toward Mark, its form appearing larger and more menacing with every step. "You," Mark whispered, the weight of his actions now pressing against his chest, making it hard to breathe. The Scarecrow stopped a few inches from him. From its form, a thousand voices whispered Mark's darkest secrets, his worst deeds, and the pain he had inflicted upon others. The whispers grew louder, merging into a deafening roar. Mark's knees buckled as he fell to the ground, clutching his ears. He could see every tear shed by those he hurt, feel the weight of every broken spirit, and hear the echo of every heart he had shattered. The Scarecrow leaned in, and with an eerily human gesture, placed its straw-filled hand on Mark's head. He could feel the icy grip of remorse, the burning shame, and the gut-wrenching guilt. As the moon reached its zenith, the Scarecrow's work was complete. Mark, like the others, was left alone, a broken reflection of the monster he once was, forever haunted by the souls he wronged. The first rays of dawn began to pierce the horizon, casting a soft, golden hue over the abandoned field. The Scarecrow, which had been the harbinger of judgment just hours before, now stood silent and still, its ominous aura replaced by the tranquil calm of the morning. Toby, with the amulet's warmth still resonating against his chest, sat at a distance, his eyes fixed on the Scarecrow. The events of the night played over in his mind, but amidst the terror, he found an inexplicable sense of understanding and peace. The wind gently rustled the Scarecrow's tattered clothes, as if whispering secrets of centuries gone by. The streets of Ravenswood began to stir as the town woke to a day like no other. Word spread quickly of the missing teenagers. Parents, siblings, and friends searched frantically, their cries echoing the same dread that the bullies had felt in their final moments. Whispers floated through the town, carried by the wind that had witnessed the Scarecrow's wrath. Each whisper was a reminder of the old legends, tales once laughed off, which now took on a shroud of terrifying reality. Ravenswood would remember this night, not just as a haunting memory, but as a lesson. In the ensuing days, as life slowly returned to some semblance of normalcy, Toby often found himself at the center of hushed conversations. His ordeal and miraculous escape from the Scarecrow's judgment became the stuff of local lore. But Toby spoke little, choosing to let the amulet, now nestled securely around his neck, speak for him. Its faint glow had dimmed, but its significance had not. In the heart of Ravenswood, by the Scarecrow's silent watch, a symbol of protection was forever enshrined. It served as a grim reminder of the costs of cruelty, of the price of wickedness, and of the ever-watchful eyes of the guardians of Ravenswood. As years went by, the events of that fateful night turned from fresh wounds to scars, from scars to legends, and from legends to myths. But for Toby, and for those who dared to listen to the whispers of the wind, the message was clear, and the battle between darkness and light, between cruelty and kindness, the protectors of Ravenswood would always stand vigilant. And so, as dawn breaks, the tales of Ravenswood fade into whispers. Thank you for joining us on this eerie journey through our scary stories. Remember, dear listeners, when the night seems too still and the air too quiet, our tales are here to remind you of the mysteries that lurk in the shadows. Until next time, keep your amulets close and sweet nightmares. This is our scary stories signing off for tonight.